Escape of Cthulhu presents Call of Cthulhu Scenario, Deirdre of the Sorrows by Kevin Shipler. Well, shall we go ahead and get started then? Somebody want to catch us up on last week?
Yes, please.
Well, volunteered.
Yeah, somebody else, I mean.
Well, just because you weren't here.
I understand.
You can read the notes as good as any of us.
Yeah, so we started off, Michael ran to his fiance, who was in a petrified-type state. At some point, we realized, oh, we'll just bring her this teacup with the cold mist in it. While the frozen her was holding the teacup, the real her suddenly convulsed in a way that made us think, "Oh, she's dead." Whoops! But fortunately, that made the fog go away, and we went outside and found a long tunnel. We brought a key that we didn't realize that we had, and the diary with us. We got to a pond.
And by diary, you mean that book that just had the one or two sentences in it?
Yeah, can you hear me in the one line from the poem? But we followed a smoke trail to a pond or lake that we're pretty sure based map is, you know, hundreds of miles or kilometers away, but somehow we were able to get there in a short period of time, use the key to put it into a stone structure. There were four stone structures around the lake. We used the key in one of them, and it sort of disappeared. We're like, oh, okay. The obelisks that was the smoke coming out of the obelisk disappeared. Oh, and I should probably mention the Deirdre is in the middle of this lake, being held aloft apparently by the smoke. So we turned that off, and the key disappeared, as did the smoke. There are three other paths. We went to one path. There was a man and a woman having a lovely time together, even though they were also quite dead because she had been stabbed and her head was crushed in. Found another poem. Looked in the diary and found there was another line from a poem. So we jumped down into a grave. Some of us did. Found another sort of puzzly type thing. We moved things around and found another key. And then went back, got rid of another obelisk, went to a graveyard. There was a dead nun who was helpful but not helpful. And eventually we figured out that we had need to find a certain headstone and pray. And then we found stairs leading down into the earth again, where we left off. So presumably we're, you know, need to solve this, and that's how we'll get another key.
Another clue.
Yeah.
Or key, right.
Right.
So does the diary again have something new in it? Oh, inside the book, the page. So now it has too long a sacrifice can make a stone of the heart, or did we already solve that one?
That's new.
Okay.
But I will say that the way we solved the last one was we need to find Thorn Crown and Heart, and it's based on the third line of the poem we found before. So poems are not just sort of idle, apparently. Like, they provide clues as to what one should do.
Right. I assume that's what they were doing.
Not necessarily
just
idle color.
Communicating.
Yes.
Not just trying to, you know, increase our, you know, understanding of
our literary
gates. Yeah. And I think we are all headed down. That's where we were headed.
Yep. So we're in the graveyard. A square old graveyard surrounded by this high wrought iron fence and dozens of tombstones with this mausoleum in the center, and a thick mist kind of hanging around the edges of the graveyard. And you're standing by this one gravestone, having just recently made a prayer, and the ground opened up, and stairs leading down into the grave, into the underneath. So everyone's...
And we have some kind of light with us, presumably. This has come up before Michael's already.
Yeah, Michael's got a torch.
Yep.
Flashlight.
Yep. We had a really long discussion about what to bring from the house, and about the only thing we agreed upon was, yeah, a flashlight.
Well, we thought about guns, but there was no guns in the gun locker.
Oh, yeah, yeah, that's true. We did agree on the guns, too.
Yeah.
Oh, good. I'm glad we didn't do that. Well, let's go down.
Yeah.
Fair enough. The stairs lead down. Kind of like the last time you went downstairs into an open grave. Hmm. These lead down 30, 40 feet under the earth. These stairs, though,
I like this new habit. Sorry.
These stairs, though, aren't dirt. Yeah. They're actually marble.
Oh, nice.
They're very kind of clean and sparkling. And the stairs lead down and flatten out into a long hallway. And the floor and walls and ceiling of this hallway are also of smooth marble panels. And there are murals on the wall. And as you walk along the hallway, you're looking at these murals, and they're painted in kind of a traditional medieval style with a golden border. And you recognize the scenes in each of these murals. And you're seeing yourselves, and the kind of the first murals where the hallway starts, you're seeing yourselves as young children. In some cases, for the younger among you, even as infants. Scenes of playing together and scenes of going to school and scenes of, with your parents and dining. And as you walk along, you know, you're all there, including Deidre. And you can see towards the ahead of you, the murals continue to the end of the hallway. And at the end of the hallway is a large wooden chair. And it's very ornate and carved out of oak. And it looks like it's a big chair. You would say it's a throne, right? I mean, it's kind of got that, you know, that big, heavy austerity and ostentatiousness about it. And the murals continue all the way up to the throne. And behind the throne, there's what's clearly the space for another mural, because it's got the gold border like all the others did, but it's blank. There's nothing there. And sitting on the throne is what you can only describe, having recently seen images of these and talked about them in poems, is a woven crown of blackberry thorns.
Sitting on the throne.
Yes.
As if somebody is supposed to sit on the throne and put the thing on.
Those things are sharp.
Do the murals, do we age in the murals? Is there some sort of chronological progression?
Oh, yes. They are 100% chronological.
My question is, I guess I would be able to tell this at least with mine in theaters for sure, but how far back do the murals go? You said some go to babies for the younger ones, but not I think myself and Pat or a couple of the older ones in our 20s as opposed to teenagers. How far back Do we go, like, can I determine a number of years?
Intelligence roll.
Intelligence. No.
And I was going to ask the other of how far forward they come, if there's any recent scenes that we recognize in the murals closest to the throne.
The scenes that are right up against the throne before the blank one show all of you, including Deirdre, walking at night towards a flagpole outside of a football stadium.
Yeah.
Mm. Very recent. I'm going to walk up and pick
no,
up.
No, don't sit on the
throne. Sit on the throne.
No! No!
Wait, so there's no sanity roll here for seeing. Huh, okay.
It's all a dream.
Yeah.
They're just, yeah, they're just so murals. That's the thing. What do you need a sanity roll for?
It's probably the
murals of us now.
If I touch one of the murals, what does it seem to be made of? Like, is it chalk? Is it paint? Is it some mystical thing that I go back into my past? My fingers brush against it.
No, it feels like paint on. It feels like a mural.
Okay, gotcha.
Paint, marble stone.
More importantly, what happens to Martin?
Well, yeah, what happens to Michael when he sits on the throne?
Does he explode?
So are you sitting on top of the crown, or are you just going to move it out of the way?
No, I'll
or?
Pick up the crown and sit down.
Okay. Pick it up. You sit down. For a moment, nothing happens. And
but
all
if
of you
sit too
all
long, of, you may turn to stone.
All of you who are not Martin, you see in kind of behind the throne, so you know behind Martin so he can't see it, the empty space start to fill with mist. And then the mist kind of clears. And you can see what appears to be, or what you all of you recognize as having been there at least once, I'm sure, a very formal, elegant sitting room. You know, very opulent furniture and expensive decorations. You know, clearly the home of a rich person. And you actually all recognize this particular sitting room as being Martin's.
Huh.
And the scene shifts, and you can see a group of men, half a dozen of them, wearing masks, carrying cans of petrol in the room. And they're swinging clubs, and they're breaking up the furniture, and they're pulling paintings off the wall, and they're splashing petrol around. And the scene shifts again, and you can see them light it in the room, and by extension, the entire home goes up in flames. And the scene shifts again, and you see Martin. Not quite the Martin you know. He looks older somehow. Haggard. Instead of the finery that you usually see him in, he's just kind of he's wearing almost rags, and he's got this old worn blanket wrapped around his shoulders, and it's cold and the wind is blowing, and he's standing in line with a group of other men waiting for handouts at a soup kitchen.
I knew his money wouldn't help him.
Guys, what are you guys looking at? And I'll try to look around to see what they're looking at.
You can certainly do that, and you can see that, and see yourself, and what, you know, kind of appears to perhaps be your future. And that's totally worth a sand roll for Martin.
Indeed. Five, which Morsan is currently 52, so that's a foul.
D2.
One point.
And as Martin kind of sees this and shudders a little bit and turns away, you see the scene and the empty mural fade back to mist and then fade away. And then you notice something that it had to have been there before, but you didn't notice it somehow. Martin has a silver necklace on, a big kind of heavy, thick silver necklace. And there's a brass key hanging from it.
Huh.
Oh, Martin.
Okay.
You seem to have found the next key.
Yeah, I don't know where this came from. What was that in the mural? That didn't look too good.
No, it looked like you.
I rest something my hand on your shoulder. Power. I think you may have sacrificed your future to save my sister. Good man.
Okay.
Well, can we now. Go back up the stairs to the pillar?
Back out.
We'll have to go back to the lake.
Follow the path back to the lake.
Fair enough.
I'll start walking. Yeah.
Climb back up out of the grave. Through the cemetery, back out through the gates, down the path, back to the lake. It's as you left it.
Did we do anything with the crown of thorns, blackberry thorns? Mm-hmm. We're just going to leave those behind.
Yeah, I'm just leaving them. I'm not taking them with me.
Don't want to put them on?
Mm.
Just checking. Yeah, we won't need those, I'm sure. We can leave them behind.
I wonder if he would have seen a different future if he'd put it on.
You'll never know.
All right. You have the key? Back at the lake. Let's not worry about Martin's future.
No.
Oh, dear.
Martin's future is in the future. There's immediate problems to deal with.
Exactly.
Indeed.
Yeah, we'll be doing good if he has a house to be burnt down.
You reach the lake. There's Deidre still hanging in the air, suspended by the two tendrils of mist. Or now the two tendrils of mist coming from the two remaining obelisks.
And she seems fairly inert.
She seems inert in that she's not moving, or she's just kind of hanging there. Having taken notice of it now and kind of looking around and realizing the original path you came in on was on one side of the lake, and right when you took the first path, you had to kind of go around the lake a little ways, and that path led off and then came back, and then you had to go around the lake a little bit more to the path that you just left and then came back on. Having taken notice of Deidre, she's clearly rotating towards you as you guys walk around the lake. So she's always facing you.
Oh.
She's like a compass.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe we can ask her which direction to go next, and she'll spin and point us. One thing I remembered as we were walking along this long, misty-colored path, covered path back here is there's also a path that had started back of the house that wasn't open all the way. I wonder if that was important. How many – we have two tendrils left, right?
Yep.
And we have two paths here that we haven't tried, or one path here?
You have one key in your hands and one path that you haven't tried.
Okay, so we'll have to let that one go, I guess.
I know it sounds crazy, but I assume that other path led to Killinary, or whatever the town is to the south. Oh, remember there are three towns that had little smoke things coming out?
Oh, Killinary, yeah.
Killinary, yep.
Or Cork, what, I assume what? That's where...
What do they have to do with anything? That's
well, I wonder. We've got to keep focusing on what we can focus on.
Yeah, which one should we try this in? Which obelisk?
There's one that corresponds to the path we went down. Is that correct? Or
yes,
yeah.
Oh, that seems reasonable.
I mean, there's two of them. I'm sure we could try both if.
Well, it worked last Martin, time. Yeah.
Martin, do you want to try this key in the...
Yeah. Oh, we'll put the key in the obelisk.
And just as before, as you do, the key is sucked in, and the brass plate and the key disappears into the stone. And that the tendril of mist coming out of this obelisk dissipates, leaving Deirdre suspended in the air by only a single tendril of smoke.
If we're successful in getting this third one down, she just drops in the lake, or what does it look like would happen to her if she were just let go?
If she were just let go and like in the normal world, and you know, kind of normal rules applied, yes, you would just fall straight down into that pit in the center of the lake below her.
I had wondered about that before too, but yeah, she's not acting like we're in the normal world, right? I mean, she's spinning and floating and stuff, so who knows?
Yeah, right. Yeah, we'll see, but we guess we have to go down this last path.
Could I make some kind of intelligence roll as I think about what we've seen down these two paths that we've already been down and think about how they correlate to, well, we came from Dublin, but Killinney and Cork, or what we saw on the map back in my room?
Navigation roll?
Navigation roll. That will probably fail. Let me.
Oh, and I guess I'll check the diary.
Yes, that's a fail.
Okay, so none of this geographically makes a bit of sense.
And geographically, but sorry, go ahead.
The diary has not changed.
Okay.
Okay.
What I was actually thinking about is what we found there, like the Deirdre myth with her husband or her lover, and I don't know, the sister who founded the Our Ladies of Sisters of Mercy, Catherine McCullough. Like, do those things seem to be to correlate? Were they in Killinney or Cork?
How about a history roll?
History roll. I believe I'll have to wonder out loud to my good friend Pat about these types of things as well. Oh no, it's even eight. I might put this base for history.
5-0-5
Yeah, we'll burn 3. It's too good a roll.
Just as well, because I rolled a 78, so
Well, I have a 0-1, which is out of a 25.
I've got a 34, sorry, out of 25.
Yep.
Pretty sure a 0-1 will be sufficient.
Well, so you would know that Sister McCauley, and that she was from Dublin, and the Sisters of Mercy were originally founded in Dublin. So maybe that's something.
But we also came from Dublin.
That's also true, yes. As far as Deirdre and Nisha. You know, where were they? It's, you know, the legends aren't really clear on that point. Somewhere in Ireland.
Okay.
So it was the Sisters of Mercy, and who were in Dublin? What was the person?
The sister, the ghost, the nun you spoke to.
Right. That was the end of one path, but the end of the other path was had to do with a myth involving someone named Deirdre and her lover/husband. See if I can figure out what his name was. I remember Deirdre's name because, for obvious reasons.
Right. All right. Sister Catherine McCauley. That's what you said.
Yeah.
Well, let's walk down the path. We have no clues.
Yep. Oh, he is Nisha. Deirdre and Nisha were from the Irish folk story. Sorry. Down the path.
Once again, into the mist. Having done this before, you kind of know what to expect. The path winds its way through presumably some kind of countryside. Hard to tell, though, as the mist continues to hang thick in the air around the path. Until it opens up into a small clearing. The path kind of continues around the edge of the clearing, but then disappears into the mist. The mist closes in on the path. In the clearing, there's a small cottage. It's very quaint. Nice kind of white wood cottage with purple gables. There's a large ash tree standing out in front of the cottage. And there's kind of some bright red flowers growing underneath the ash tree. There's a little dusting of snow on the tree and the cottage and the ground. And the curtains in the cottage are drawn. The windows are drawn, but you can see the flickering of a candle in one of the windows. Hanging from the tree, there are three ropes. Mm-hmm. And at the end of each rope, there's a hangman's noose. And hanging from each of those three nooses are three men. Their necks clearly broken. Their bodies hanging there, still and unmoving.
I'm willing to bite to see if I can get closer to see if I recognize the men.
I would like to make an occult roll to see if I recognize the tale from which this comes.
How about a education roll first for Mr. McDowell? Or an intelligence roll. Make it an intelligence roll.
Okay. Sorry, I was on mute. I failed both once.
You do not recognize any of the people. And an occult roll from Miss O'Brien.
11 out of 45 is a hard success.
You don't recognize this as anything in particular.
Okay.
But thinking on it, you do recognize the cottage.
Hmm.
You know, the cottage with the white and the purple gables and the ash tree standing out front and the flowers and the dusting of snow, not the hanged men, but, you know, mm-hmm. besides that detail, this cottage is shockingly reminiscent of the cottage that is pictured on the diary that you have with you, the cover of Deirdre's diary.
Oh, we found... That's interesting. I'll look at the diary and see if there's any... First, if there's any change inside, and then if there's any label or a small writing we might have not noticed about the cover.
Neither of those things exists.
Okay. Well, this is... yeah, this is Deirdre's journal's house somehow.
Mr. McDowell, would you make a spot hidden roll?
Yes, I'll also make a take myself off mute roll. That one's successful, but the spot hidden is a 90. That's a fail.
Okay, never mind then.
Well, let's. Michael, do you know what this is? I mean, it's your sister.
Everyone else can make a spot hidden roll.
Ooh, just make it.
0-3.
I got a 26. Doesn't behave as 0-3, which is a foul anyway.
So Michael has kind of stepped, you know, walked away from the group.
0-0, sorry.
A little ways. Well, you're focused on the diary, so that only makes sense.
Yeah, I am not spotting hidden.
Yeah, so Michael has kind of stepped away from the group a little bit to get a closer look at these hanged men, and Miss O'Brien is, you know, kind of sharing, oh, look, the diary is, you know, similar to the cottage. This is interesting. Is there anything else? And, you know, a couple of you kind of are looking at the diary and looking at the cottage and looking towards Michael. And you see that all three of the hangmen have opened their eyes and they're looking at Michael.
Ah! Well, I don't see that.
So, who notices that?
Not me. No one's going to say anything?
Does that warrant a sanity roll?
Yes, I also failed my initial get-off-mute roll, but now I've passed it, so yes, I will gasp.
Did you push that?
I pushed it, exactly. Bad things could have happened. I would have to leave the game or something. But, yes.
Have dropped the call, probably.
Yes, I gasp out in point, in covering my mouth in horror. This is not the way a pregnant... This is not the sort of thing a pregnant woman should be going through. All these horrors and whatnot. And I will clearly point at the eyes that have opened up and looking at Michael.
Ah.
I will spin and cry out and shock myself. Who are you?
Sorry, I dropped off the call there for a second. That was a mistake.
That's what happens when you fail. Building up the suspense. Yeah.
What'd I miss?
We solved everything and we lived happily ever after.
Oh, okay. Great. Glad to hear it. How about a sand roll for that? Or if not that, just seeing three hanged men with their necks at unpleasant and unnatural angles, their eyes open looking down. At.
All of us, I assume?
Yeah, I think so.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, I'm pointing it out for all of you. Don't worry. Yeah.
That is a definite fail.
Go ahead.
1 point for the success, a D3 for the fail.
Yeah.
It's the slow sanity burn. Nothing's truly horrifying, but everything's just chipping away.
For some reason,
I really don't like this place. Can we just find the key and get out of here?
You're sitting on 60 sanity. I wish I had 60. I wish I had started with 60 sanity.
I wish you had 60 sanity, too.
Jim, what was that for success? I sort of failed my I accidentally kicked myself off the call.
Sorry, what was the question, Gary?
What was the sand loss for a success?
Just 1 point.
Okay. Thank you.
Yep.
So I not only am stable after saying this, but I am solid as a rock with the 0-1, and I will look up and start accosting these men. What are you doing up there? Who are you?
Oh, dear. Finally flipped.
No, this is a he this time. This is Michael. Michael McDonald.
My name is John Murphy. My name is Dennis Walsh. My name is Peter O'Sullivan.
Could we get a history or some type of role from hearing those names?
Sure.
Oh, does he know them?
Or, yeah, someone I know. That's not going to do well. 73 isn't going to pass anything for me, but...
on history, it's a hard success.
Nope.
Okay.
None of you recognize these, either any of the three of them as people that you know, and you don't recognize them as...
Mm-hmm.
Why have you been hung?
Are you
rude to ask people that?
Addressing all of them or any of them in particular or collectively? Where were you all hung? The first one kind of turns his eyes to look at you.
I was a pickpocket. A man caught me, tried to stop me, and I stabbed him.
And the second man turns his eyes towards you.
A man raped my sister. So I killed him and his brother.
I will nod solemnly at this.
And the third man turns his eyes towards you.
I did nothing wrong. Mayor Turpin wanted my wife and had me hung.
Is this Mayor Turpin's house you hang before?
House.
This place, I
don't
indicate.
Don't know anything about a house.
What is this place?
This is hell.
Have we heard of this Mayor Turpin?
You can make more history rolls if you want.
Regular success?
Hell.
Only a regular success?
Oh, sorry, I had a regular success. I forgot. Oh, I got a 25 history.
Oh, and I get a 96.
Regular success feels like maybe you might have heard of a Mayor Turpin, but something awfully obscure. You know, no like major figure that. Oh, of course, everyone should know, but. You may kind of recognize the name, having seen it or read it somewhere, but it's not anything obvious.
I'm starting to walk towards this house.
Okay.
I'll follow.
The house is walked towards.
And if I get to the front door, I will try to open it. You said the light's on. There's a flickering light inside, but the curtains are closed.
There is a candle in the window. Yes.
Oh, candle in the window, even better. Yeah, I'll see if I can go in the door. This is where the fairies live.
The door is locked.
Friendly. Oh, dear.
Is that kind of made out of candy? We could eat our way in. No.
It is not.
All right.
I will look around in the usual places for a key, you know, under the flower pot and over the sill and so forth.
It sounds like you were trying to spot something which may be hidden.
I do not pass a spot hidden roll, but I am definitely trying to spot something hidden.
You do not find a key.
Okay.
So if he's looking, I'll look as well. 59, so I don't think I spot either. No, I don't.
No key is found so I'll go to the porch.
I was about to say, yeah.
I will go to the window with the candle. Is it open by any chance or unlocked?
It is not.
Why and the candle, I assume, is on the inside of the window.
You assume correctly, yes.
Why not knock on the door? Nothing is harmed us yet in this mist place.
All right.
Okay, I'll knock. Knock on the door.
You knock. After a moment, you hear footsteps. After a moment, you hear the sliding of a latch, and the door opens. And standing in the door is a man, fairly tall, very gaunt, very lean, as high cheekbones, drawn face, very pale, almost a gray tinge to his skin, kind of thin hair. He's dressed somewhat formally. And he looks in. He looks down at you. Visitors. I so rarely get visitors these days.
Does he have a welcome mayor shawl on or an emblem?
He does not.
Okay.
Welcome, visitors, strangers, to my home. Would you care to for tea?
Indeed.
Yes.
On Martin.
Gina Key.
Hello. Good day, Martin. I am Timothy. Timothy O'Connor.
And you live out here in this place?
This is my home. But please, please, come in. Come in.
I feel like this guy is important enough that we should roll on his name. Is that possible?
Sure.
No, an 87 is not going to do anything.
This is a history or not?
History, yeah.
87, it doesn't matter.
Finally make a history roll. 57 out of 70.
Only normal successes again?
Correct.
Same thing. The name kind of touches at your memory as if you've read it or seen it somewhere before. But again, something obscure. It's not really striking the chord. He steps aside and, you know, kind of gestures for you all to come in.
Yep, so I'll step in.
Yeah, walk in.
Indeed.
And he shows you into the sitting room there, or just inside the door. It's very neatly furnished. It's kind of got a very kind of quaint, cozy feel to it. Quite archaic though. This is definitely not a modern sitting room. This is definitely an older style. Very pleasant, but you know, things are a little worn, a little rough around the edges. He invites you to be seated on a sofa and a series of chairs around a small maple coffee table.
So does it seem old and worn appropriately, or does it seem sort of out of time old?
That one.
The second one, okay.
Yes.
Out of time being not of our current
time. Not worn enough.
Correct.
Yeah. I'm sorry, what did you say his name was? Something Michael O'Connor, is that right?
Timothy O'Connor.
Timothy O'Connor.
There is a there's a small leather-bound book on the table, the cover of which has the same picture of a cottage that is on Deirdre's diary.
Ooh.
Please be seated. I will make tea for everyone, and then I wish you to tell me of your travels. Tell me a story.
Interesting. Do you mind if I have a look at this book? It looks interesting.
Please, of course. He steps out of the sitting room towards the kitchen.
Pick up and have a look in it.
Like most of the books that you have seen recently, it is empty. Except for one handout on the first page.
Dropping pale blue veils of mourning to where the cricket sings, an evening full of sanguine sorrows taken on a linnet's wing. That wouldn't happen to be a Yeats poem, from a Yeats poem, or Yeats, sorry.
Some more literature rolls.
Literature is what we've been rolling.
Oh my god. I am not doing well today. 84 out of 50.
It was history too, right? Isn't that what our professor was nailing it?
Yeah, history is acceptable too.
Last week I rolled like 0 ones or 0 fives all the time. This week it's... Yeah. Same dice.
Oh, I got
same a dice. Just insert 9 where squirrels used to be.
Yep.
I got an extreme excess on my history roll.
Yes, this is once again Yeats, the Lake Isle of Innisfree.
So another Yeats.
Bloody sorrows.
I obviously knew that.
Obviously. A few minutes later, Mr. O'Connor comes back in, carrying a tray with a pot and a number of teacups, and he sets the tray down on the table, and he starts pouring tea for all of you. Please, I get so few visitors. Tell me a story, won't you? Tell me of where you've come from and what you are doing and where you are going.
I have a story about a girl floating above a lake.
This poem is the same one that is in Deirdre's book, actually. Lake Isle of Innisfree. It's a different line.
That is a true statement.
Sorry.
No, that's good. Good connection.
I will tell him the story of our adventures here. The house we woke up in and the keys that we've gone to find and the two Deirdres and the crazy nun and yeah, all of it.
He listens intently, with, you know, occasional questions, ooh, what was that like? And, oh, that's remarkable. Have you ever heard of such a thing? And he definitely seems interested in hearing your story. Mm-hmm. And you can see he kind of brightens as you're telling the story, right? And even without a psychology role, it's pretty obvious that he's very pleased to be amongst such good company and you know, hearing your story.
Okay. So we have one more key to find, and well, then we can finish our story.
Remarkable. Well, I do hope that you are able to find it. I do wish that you will return and tell me how this story ends. I would very much like to know.
Perhaps you can tell us your own story, Mr. O'Connor. And while you're at it, how you got this book?
The book, yes. My story. Oh, yes, yes, of course. I was a constable. I was a constable and the executioner for the County Cork. I arrested and executed a great many people. It is unfortunate. Occasionally, not everyone who is executed is perhaps as guilty of the crimes as they could have been. But
like the men out front.
All perhaps. For the greater good. Yes, yes.
You worked with Mayor Turpin then?
I did, yes. It's unfortunate that innocent people must be caught up in the fight for law and order, but sacrifices must be made.
Who was the mayor?
Mayor Turpin. Yes, mayor of County Cork.
When was he mayor?
Oh, he was mayor during the entirety of my tenure as executioner. When did he become mayor? 1560, 1561?
Oh.
Something like this.
See. That was some time you have been living here.
Oh, a year or two, I suppose. It's hard to tell the passage of time with that mist outside. All the days seem the same.
What year was it when you left? What year do you last remember?
I came here in the year of our Lord, 1570.
One thing I forgot to mention is that Moira has tales of the spirit world and is not particularly interested in drinking her tea. But she will hold it and okay. Smell it.
For everyone else who is drinking the tea, it is strong and it is bitter, but it's tea. It's simple. It's, you know. Not fancy, but it is tea-like. And Miss, you have tales of the spirit world. I would very much like to hear one.
So he just says that out of the blue?
No, I thought did you make a comment about having tales of this? Or?
Oh, I'm happy to. Oh. Yes.
If you do, then that's how he responds. Yes.
Yes, well, as a young person with Deirdre, we used to try to summon the spirits in the graveyard. I don't know if we were successful, but I know that Deirdre was. She's spoken with them.
Remarkable.
Still hoping.
Remarkable. You know Deirdre.
Yes, yes, she's a good friend of mine.
I believe Michael doesn't spit take
well.
It. Spit take it this.
Oh, everyone knows the story of poor Deirdre and her Nisha.
Oh,
to have known her in person, remarkable.
Now I'm wondering if, in fact, I did know her in person. I'm like, wow, that's kind of a thing. yes, you just know the story.
Yes, I... Of course,
all of us do.
All Irishmen learn the story as young children.
Yes. A tragic tale. I assume it's a tragic tale. It's Irish, right?
It's very tragic, yes.
A tragic tale.
Indeed.
Judging by the condition of their heads, it was very tragic in the end.
For those three out front, you mean?
Oh, no. I'm referring to...
For Deirdre and...
Deirdre and Nisha. Have you noticed the men out front in your yard?
Yes, I'm familiar with them.
Is this where you hung them? Outside your own yard as decoration, perhaps? Wind chimes would do nicely, but not for you.
No. Hardly would I do such a thing.
But you've no idea how they came to be there.
I assume they came with the mist. They were brought with the mist. The mist brought them here to remind me of the times when I missed... When I had to sacrifice innocence. As I said, it is unfortunate, but necessary.
Can I try a psychology to see if there's any remorse that goes along with his thing?
Go right ahead.
At the 97, I continue my good string of rolls and know nothing.
Fair enough.
So what was this thing again here? Dropping pale blue vases and crickets sing. To where the crickets sing. Do you know this poem, the Lake Isle of Innisfree?
All Irish... No, I'm not familiar with it.
Huh, right, because he's too old. I will recite that couplet to him, dropping pale blue veils of morning to where the cricket sings, an evening full of sanguine sorrows taken on linnet's wings. Does this mean anything to you?
Such poetry. I love poetry. A painter paints as a poet writes, morning, noon, evening, and night.
Are there other rooms in this cottage? Sorry.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe the kitchen.
I mean, is it just this room, the kitchen? Is there an upstairs?
Well, you would assume that there is an upstairs because there were gable windows that would presumably be upstairs. And it's an Irish cottage, so you would presume there's probably a cellar as well.
You have a lovely home, Mr. O'Connor. Do you mind if we look around? Would you mind giving us a tour, perhaps?
You are welcome to look around, yes.
Jim, I want to look around and look at the walls, look for paintings.
There are no paintings on the walls in the sitting room.
Okay. Oh, not to Bridget and Guy. Let's go and have a wander and have a look.
Yes.
And I'll look out for some. I'll be looking for any paintings on any walls.
Okay.
I am looking for the door into what I presume is a basement, because every time we found a key or found a clue, it was descending into the earth. So.
So the cottage is very small, right? It doesn't take very long to figure these things out. Right? Yep. You got the sitting room. There's a small kitchen kind of behind it, a short connecting hallway. And from the hallway, there are stairs leading down and stairs leading up.
I will go down first, as you said. As I said, Bridget said we used to going down.
You head down, and you find yourself in a small root cellar. Fairly small, kind of an earthen root cellar, 10 feet on a side. There, in the center of the cellar, ahead of the stairs, there is a pedestal. On each side of the pedestal, there is an easel. So there's two easels with two canvases on them.
Painter paints.
In the center of the pedestal, there's like a depression. With it has a little bit of kind of like the mist boiling away in it. And on the wall opposite the pedestal, there's a bracket, like for hanging a canvas on the wall, although there's nothing held there.
So is there a blank canvas on the easel?
So the two canvases that are on the easels, both of them have, what do you call it, the painter's board? You know what I'm talking about, right?
Just a plain, like a white wooden...
There's the canvas hanging in the easel, and then like kind of sitting on a little tray in front of the easel is the painter's, the kind of roundish...
Oh, the palette?
Yeah, palette. Thank you. That's the word I was looking for. Both of the palettes have three colors on them. One is a pale blue, a deep red, and a very kind of bright, vibrant yellow. The canvas
pale
on
blue
the
blue and red are the colors in the poem.
The canvas on the left shows a picture of six men sitting around a table. In what appears to be like a basement or something like that. It's kind of hard to tell. It's kind of dark around the edges. They're all dressed. They're in modern dress, but they're dressed kind of rough. And the canvas on the right shows six men sitting around a table. But all of these men are wearing British uniforms, and they're sitting around kind of a more formal table in what looks like a more formal setting.
Interesting.
Now, as a painter myself, do they seem to be finished or do they seem to be unfinished?
They seem to be unfinished. You can make an art roll.
Yeah.
No.
At 0.2, that would be a extreme success.
So both of the paintings are very well executed. They're actually quite lifelike. They're also both very flat. there's no kind of, you know, from your artistic expertise, you know, there's no, you know, there's no kind of coloration or light source in either of them that really gives an indication of, you know, the time of day, right? Is this kind of the, you know, the deep dark of night, or, you know, bright light shining in through a window, or, you know, there's no light to the paintings, if you will. There's no sense of time.
Okay. So there's no shading.
And so behind the pedestal, though, there's a spot where you could put one of the paintings, right?
That is correct.
Well, there's paint. Is the paint wet on the palette?
It is fresh, yes.
So things as dropping pale blue vows of mourning. I'll look at the one on the left. Do I think, just from the way it looks, if I could touch it up to make it look like a morning sun, morning glow to it?
You certainly could.
I will do that.
Make an art roll.
Okay. 18, which is, I'll spend the 6 points of luck to get a hard success.
You do so masterfully.
Okay. I'll take that one and try to hang it up in the spot.
Okay. As you lift the painting off the easel, you can hear voices whispering.
We're going to kill them. Damned traitors, we got to kill them all. That's right. Kill the traitors.
And you hang the painting, as you hang the painting on the bracket on the wall and step back, you see the scene in the painting shifts, and you see the same six men walking along a street, and they kind of separate and they go into six different houses. And a few minutes later, you hear screams coming from the painting. And the six men kind of come out of the houses back onto the street, and they're all kind of covered in blood. And they greet each other, happy and sated in the murders that they have just committed.
Did it look like a modern scene or a
old scene? Most definitely.
A modern.
Yep.
Okay.
You can make a sand roll.
Sand roll?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's what I was thinking.
Yeah.
35 success.
Only 1 point for that.
Yeah. Oh. But I did not pass. I'm also in the room and did not pass.
How about a D4?
How about that? Okay. Inching our way down the sanity scale.
You do also notice that the depression in the pedestal, the mist has faded, and there's a brass key lying there.
Well, Martin, we'll
grab that.
The key go. Last one.
Well done. Nice painting, Martin.
Thank you.
Let's go tell
you had any talent.
Oh, I really love painting.
Oh.
It's been quite a hobby of mine.
Oh, interesting. Well, that's great.
Well, let's go say our goodbyes to our host and
yeah,
go rescue Deirdre.
I wonder what will happen when we drop her into that pit.
I think we should be ready for anything.
Well, someone's going to swim out there, right? I look around at the others.
I put my hand on my belly.
You should float with that.
Whoa. I think at some point my character was interested in you, but not as much.
So I guess we'll go upstairs.
Timothy greets you. Did you find what you were looking for?
Yes, Mr. O'Connor. I think we did. Thank you.
Sacrifices were made, I imagine.
I believe so, yes.
There has to be the way of this place.
Well, we thank you for your hospitality and your tea, and wish you a good day.
I do hope you will return if your journeys ever bring you back this way. I have very much enjoyed our time together. Thank you for your stories.
Here.
Well, it was the least
thank you.
We could do.
Thank you. Yeah.
Let's get out of here.
I feel like we're that a toll is being kept as we go through. I wonder what the price will be in the end. But let's see if we can free her.
Timothy sees you out of his cottage and closes the door behind you.
As we leave, speaking of being freed, my mind turns again to those hanged men up there in the trees.
Mm.
I'm pretty athletic. I think maybe I'll scale the trees and see if I can drop them down. I mean, I don't know how the whole thing is rigged. You know, there may be some rope thrown over the branch, and I can untie it from down below, or it may be tied up above. I don't know.
It's all they're all tied off to the branch. You'd have to climb up there.
Martin, let's go. Let's go. Bring along that key, Martin. Let's let him do what he needs to do.
Okay, I'll catch up.
I'm
That's
sure you
very
will.
Sweet.
I will try to scale it and cut them down or drop them.
I think they're already dead.
Their souls can be free.
They were speaking. It can't hurt to be kind to the spirits.
You can make a climb roll.
Climb roll. All right. Got some points here. And that's a good roll. So that's it's a hard success.
Nicely done.
Mm-hmm.
You can undo the first one. The rope drops away.
And he breaks his legs.
The body falls and dissolves into mist.
Excellent.
Before hitting the ground.
Did the figure look sort of relieved when this happened, or?
No.
Well.
Oh, no.
We don't need to tell him up there this, so.
That's true. Yeah, from up above. I'm doing a good deed.
Yeah, you're looking for cheery optimism in the wrong place, aren't you?
Yes.
Same thing happens with the other two.
Okay. climb back down and we'll jog up the trail to catch the others.
You do. Eventually you all make it back to the lake. Deirdre hanging in the air over the pit in the center of the lake. The water cascading down beneath her, below her. Single tendril of mist extending from the remaining obelisk before you, suspending Deirdre in the air.
Okay, before takes the key, I'll take my shoes off. You know,
I'll swim out if you like.
Strip down to my skivvies and prepare to dive in. How far out is she?
The whole lake is not more than 50 feet across.
Moira, you're a good friend of my sister. We may have had our differences in the past, but God bless you.
And a good swimmer.
And a good swimmer, too. A good friend and a good swimmer.
Who was that stepping into the water?
Michael
and Moira, I guess.
Michael and Moira. Okay. As you both
waiting for them to get.
But let's wait to see what happens after we use the key.
Okay, so you're going to use the key and then go.
If she drops.
Okay.
Oh, do you want to go out to begin with?
I'm worried that she will drop and that we will lose her into this pit.
Oh, I was feeling like this whole thing is way too mysterious for us to understand, and we may as well do what we know and stand by to jump in if needed. But
I'm with Moira on this.
Okay.
You want to go in?
She's your sister.
She's my sister.
So where is the pit? In the lake is draining into the pit? Is that
right? That is correct.
Does it look like, you know, if they do swim out, they're going to be in danger of...
That is correct.
I think someone needs to be out there so that, you know, what if Deirdre
I'll drops swim out.
And she's not conscious and she can't, yeah, someone needs to be out there.
Yeah, she's my sister. If Moira is bolder than I am, I will also follow her lead.
As the two of you step into
together.
The water.
Yes.
It is bitterly, bitterly cold.
Whew!
It's the same sort of deep, freezing cold that, you know, you felt when you touched the mist. You can both make a con roll and a sand roll.
Con.
Fumble on the con roll.
Ouch.
Fumble on the sand roll.
Extreme success on the con roll, but a complete failure on the sanity roll.
So the success on the con roll, you can lose one hit point. The failure on the con roll, you can lose a D4.
Ouch.
And the same thing with the sand roll.
So I'm going to assume that a fumble is just 4 then?
Yep.
Right. So 4 and sand.
2 sand.
They don't put ice in this water for nothing.
It's cold.
You're doing a great job.
Just a little bit further.
Mind the pit.
So exactly what is your plan here? What's the...
Wait until they're close enough to her and then...
Yeah, I'm waiting until they're at the edge of the pit and then I will... Basically, and they're ready and then I will put the key in.
Okay. So Mr. McDowell and Miss O'Brien, as you get closer to the edge of the pit where the water is kind of cascading over, you can start to feel it pulling at you, tugging you.
Be careful.
Yes, the current is strong.
Wanting to take you with it down into
the deep. Quickly with the key.
You can both make swim rolls.
Oh, God.
Sure. Is there any way we can help each other?
That would have been nice. That's a definite fail.
I also fail.
Apparently not.
We can't even help ourselves. Maybe that's the problem. We're trying to help each other. Yeah. Wait, let go of my foot. What?
Burr.
Mr. Aaron's with the key. You put the key in. It is once again sucked into the obelisk. The brass disappears into the black stone. The tendril of mist fades. Deirdre's body hangs there, unsuspended by mist. And slowly starts down. She's not falling. It's more like she's being lowered, right? She's falling very slowly, far too slowly. And you can see, and the water at the edge of the lake starts to disappear. It's like now the water is actually draining into the pit.
Oh dear. Maybe we should have used like a rope or something. Or...
I think we've just flushed ourselves down the toilet.
Mr. McDowell and Miss O'Brien, would you both make luck rolls, please?
Luck. What I'm going to try to do, well, let me do the luck roll first. Oh, I saw the 1-0. That was hopeful, but a 60.
Uh-oh.
A 60. The other dice is the important one, I guess. That's a fail.
Okay. Normal.
Okay. So the Deirdre lowers into the pit. The water drains out of the lake. And you hear kind of a deep grinding noise from deep underneath. Those of you on the edge of the lake.
She lowers into the pit. She gets lower than we are?
Yeah, I was going to try to jump for her when she came.
You can't really. I'm not sure how you jump out of the water. So the those of you around the edge of the lake, you can see as the water recedes from the edge and continues to pour into the pit, a pathway under the lake and stairs spiraling down are revealed. Miss O'Brien, as you're out in the water, kind of swimming, as the water recedes far enough, you manage to kind of catch yourself as the on one of the stairs and kind of stand there as the water recedes away from you. But Mr. McDowell, you are unable to find purchase and are pulled over the edge down into the pit. And unlike Deirdre, who is floating downwards, you fall downwards.
Michael.
This doesn't sound good.
Take a d6 damage.
It was pretty horrific, but... Oh! I land awkwardly on my neck for full 6-point damage.
Ouch.
Yeah.
Awkwardly on my neck.
I will try to run down the stairs.
You certainly can. And the others?
Oh, I guess we're heading that way.
And,
yes,
possibly even first aid Michael when I get down there.
Thank you. Oh.
Okay. You can go ahead and make your first aid roll.
That is a normal success, 29.
Okay.
Excellent. 1 point, right?
Yes, that's one.
Straighten it out.
Michael, are you okay? What happened?
Oh, it hurts.
Disaster. Where's Deirdre?
That's a good question.
Yeah, what do we see?
Yep, so as the two of you are down there, Michael's being first aided. The rest of the group rushes down the stairs. You find yourselves in kind of in this large kind of circular pit, the opening up above. In the center of the pit is a large black stone. Clearly the same stone that the obelisks were made of. And Deirdre is lying on the stone. And her body is wrapped in mist. Tendrils of mist are wrapped around her body. And they extend outward. These tendrils of mist extend outwards from her body towards four passages leading away from this room, which you recognize the passages down here line up with the paths that were on the surface.
Oh, don't tell me we have to do it all over again.
Deirdre, what have you done?
And there is
happened?
A
where did you go?
There's a small pedestal near the block near Deirdre's body with a book upon it.
Jim, does this room look a lot like the vision we had when we all blanked out and then woke up in the weird house?
Yep.
Huh. So, other robes around? I can't remember. I think there were robes in
there. There are no robes.
What was the vision exactly? We were all standing around chanting. Was Deirdre in the middle?
We were six of us were standing in the darkness holding a book. We were chanting. Deirdre is in the middle of the circle, spasming and smoking. So
either that's what happened or that's what needs to happen, maybe.
Well, I think if we're in that space, I think we need to read from the book and maybe pull these tendrils out of her.
Let's see what the book says.
I'm not looking.
That You've been the first one. fine. Pat will go.
I'll look at the book if it's right there. Yeah, books have been good.
Any
of them?
As you kind of look at the book, and there's as you kind of get close, you can see that lying kind of almost kind of partially obscured by the book, but right next to the book, there is a knife. It's a very ornate, kind of a large ornate knife with a curved blade and some kind of gems set into the handle. You open the book, and the pages of the book are blank, kind of like all the books that you've seen so far, except for the first page, which has some text on it, but the words are glowing with kind of a soft gold light. And the words are words that you recognize. They are all the four stanzas that you've seen so far.
Well, I guess these are what we're supposed to recite.
Should we each take turns?
So, were there robes lying around?
That was a missed thing. I thought there were robes in the vision, but there were not. So,
there were robes in the vision. Really... There are no robes here.
Oh,
because I'm really cold, so robes would be nice.
Yeah, after that swim, too bad we left our clothes on the shore.
What's down the passageway where the tendrils go?
They are all filled with mist.
Fine, let's read. Let's see what it says.
Okay.
Like what we should do. So I'll read aloud what's in the book.
Okay. Well, it's the four stanzas that you've
four
seen.
Four stanzas, yeah. Yep. Does anything happen?
As you read the first one, you hear kind of a hissing noise. And what sounds like whispering. Can't quite make out the sound. If you read the second one, the hissing noise increases, and you can see that the mist is coming out of the tunnels. It's moving and kind of sneaking around and wrapping around Deidre's body. As you read the third one, the hissing grows louder and you can start to feel a wind blowing as mist is starting to just pour in from the tunnels. As you read the fourth one, you see kind of a shimmer, a purple shimmer in the air. And you can all make a sand roll.
Okay. Sure.
That one makes that
one success.
Hard success.
D2 for the success, a D6 for the failure.
That's two.
As a kind of a haze.
A purple haze?
Purple haze, yes. Crackling with electricity. Appears in the air and widens. And through it, you can see a room, and you recognize Deidre's bedroom. And the tendrils of mist pour out of the tunnels, wrapping around Deidre's body, and they start to extend, and they're flailing around. And we will go into Dex Order.
Dex Order, you say?
Mr. McDowell.
Yes, sir. So her body here is flailing around.
Her body here is laying quietly, but it is being wrapped in mist.
And where is her body that is tossing wildly?
It's the mist that's tossing wildly, not her body. Her body is just laying on the black stone.
Okay. Is anything threatening me or anything at this point?
Those tendrils of mist don't look friendly.
They don't look friendly. Okay. Can I dodge them if they come close, maybe?
Probably. Lizard.
Okay. Shall I roll?
You don't need to right now.
Okay.
Are you just going to stand there and watch?
Yeah, I guess okay. I have no...
Miss Kelly...
Does it look like they're tossing around Deirdre?
Nope.
I'm sorry, Jim. I don't really understand. I mean, so there's mist appearing around. They're sort of flailing around. There's no direct threat. I guess I will likewise just sort of stay out of the way of these things.
Okay. Miss O'Brien.
I would like to grab the knife and start slicing at the tendrils.
You certainly can do. You grab the knife and slash at one of the tendrils nearest you. Make a attack roll.
That's an 11 out of 25. That's a hard success on Fighting Brawl.
Yep. You kind of slice through it and the tendril kind of dissipates and there's... As you do that, there's the hissing kind of sound that you've been hearing this whole time, kind of pitches almost like a scream.
Nice way to keep your head, Moira.
Mr. Tehan is who knows what he's doing. Mr. Ahrens.
Okay, so what's actually happening? Sorry, I just had to step out.
So Deirdre's body is lying on the stone. The room is filling up with tendrils of mist that are flailing about. There is a purple hole in space through which you can see Deirdre's room. And Miss O'Brien is attacking the mist with a knife.
Can try to grab Deirdre's body?
You certainly,
she's still wrapped in.
You certainly can. Make a dodge roll.
Okay, dodge roll.
As you get close to her, the mist kind of lashes out at you.
So I rolled a 10. My dex is 50, so it's a 25 skill. So 10 is a success.
Okay. You kind of plunge your hands into the mist that's around her and kind of step out of the way of these tendrils that are flailing towards you. Make a con roll and a sand roll.
Con roll. Just 55. And sand roll, 07. So I make my sand roll.
You can lose one hit point and one sand point. So the mist freezes you deeply. But not as deeply as it could have. Mr. Murphy.
Well, I had much the same idea as Mr. Arendt, but he seems to have things under control. So I think I will say, yes, good thinking, Martin. Let's get her out of here, and I'll head to the purple hole to make sure the way is safe.
Okay. to it or through it?
Yes, both.
Okay. You all see Mr. Murphy step into the hole and disappear. Everyone who is not Mr. Murphy can make a dodge roll.
Not so much.
Success.
Oh, I might spend some luck on that. I'm going to succeed with luck.
I think this is a good time for that.
I don't have a lot of hit points.
95.
Mr. Ahrens, you can make another con roll and another sand roll.
Failed my con roll. Made my sand roll.
I lose 1 point of sand and a d4 hit points. As more tendrils of mist flail out at you and
1 point.
Burn you with their coldness. Mr. McDowell.
Okay. Martin has my sister in his arms, right? Is there a way that I could assist him in getting her to the purple hole, which seems to be the thing to do?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Make a con roll and a sand roll as you plunge into the mist to grab a hole to help.
We'll spend 7 points of luck to make that a normal success con roll wise. And sand roll. Let's see what we got here. Oh, that's a fail.
One hit point and a d4 sand.
Okay.
Miss Kelly.
Ouch.
Does it look like they're able to move her? Or are they just sort of holding her down while the tendrils surround her?
Oh yeah, they're definitely picking her up.
All right, then I will, with great reluctance, help them with this.
As you plunge into the mist as well, con roll and sand roll.
Oh, I did not want to do this. Con is a regular success. San is also a success.
Huh. One of each.
Sweet.
You plunge into the mist to help heft Deirdre. Mr. Ahrens.
Yep.
No, I'm sorry. Miss O'Brien. I apologize.
So can I get to the purple hole without going through the mist from where I'm currently at?
Can you make a dodge roll?
It's unlikely. That's what I was sort of wondering. Is there mist between me and the purple hole?
There are tendrils of mist that are flailing about that you would have to dodge.
All right.
But otherwise, yes.
I will try that. I will try to do that. 14 is a hard success on dodge.
Yep. No problem. You can
duck around. Through the door.
Duck around them and through the portal. Yep.
Yep. You're carrying our knife for only defense.
Wow, my God, she left us here.
Mr. Aarons.
Yep, I'm trying to basically carry.
Come on, bring her.
To the portal.
Okay. Mr. McDowell, Miss Kelly, Mr. Aarons, as you heft Deidre, make your way towards the portal. You can all make another con roll and another sand roll.
Out the con, made the sand.
Hard success on the con, and the same roll to fail the sand.
So, fumble on the con, hard fail on the sand.
So same thing, one hit point for con success, a d4 for a con failure, and the same again for sand.
One for sand.
Three, that's half my hit points.
Con roll.
Another con roll. And that's a success, luckily.
As you take Deidre's body to the portal, Mr. Aarons stumbles, clearly in pain, but you step through.
And
do we end up somewhere?
Wouldn't you like to know? No. And you wake up.
Where are we?
Beds are in Deirdre's room.
And you all find yourself in your own beds.
Oh, thank goodness.
It's just a dream.
Is Joanna at the foot of my bed, or is she?
She is not.
She is not. I will run to Deirdre's room from my house. Well, in my house. Sorry. Not I misspoke. I was thinking
since you're in your house.
Yeah, since I'm in my house.
And you find Deidre's room empty. And as you all kind of come to and, are able to speak to those around you, you all learn basically the same thing. As you wake up this day, 3 days after the events of Sunday, during
horrible Wednesday.
No one quite knows what happened, but you were all taken with the sleeping sickness and have been unconscious and sleeping for 3 days. All of you, including Deidre, and all of you have woken up except for Deidre, who will never wake up.
We had, So she was in her bed. Or no, she just wasn't.
She just wasn't. Her room was empty.
What about the other people that we found in my household, my parents and the maid that were knocked out?
Your parents are healthy and alive, if deeply saddened by your sickness and Deidre's sickness and her continued sickness. The maid is up and about and unharmed. She is continuing to go about her duties There's kind of a pall over the house as you learn that, you know, shortly after you and Deidre and the others were taken with the sleeping sickness, that some sort of fit came over Joanne as she sat at home, and she was buried yesterday.
Ugh. Martin!
And you learn of a group of IRA men who went out last night, who went out the night before you woke up and killed a number of entire families, men, women, and children that they believed were English sympathizers.
That was us. Mm-hmm.
We learn about a poor mother dog.
Somewhere in your heart of hearts, somewhere in your heart of hearts, you know that somewhere in the countryside, a dog and her puppies were torn apart by a fox. Yes.
Wow. So, what was going on?
First of all, high five.
How did we screw things up?
It was a 4-hour scenario and we finished in 6 hours. I mean, that's got to be a record.
That's not bad for us.
So what was going on? Well, isn't it obvious?
And what did we miss that would have explained everything?
Well, the answer to that question is nothing.
Nothing.
Yeah. Huh. Yeah. There is no explanation for the characters. Mm-hmm. Just kind of one of the reasons that I like this scenario, because it's just weirdness, right? It's, you know, there is a mythos connection, but it's not something that the characters would ever know or really discover. You know, mm-hmm. I suppose that, you know, if you like took these characters forward and they, you know, started to research and learn all kind of mythos things, they could probably eventually put a few pieces together. But the answer to your question is that, as I believe it was Miss O'Brien, I had indicated that her and Deidre, their interest in things occult and trying to contact the spirit world, that Deidre was able to do that. And she unknowingly, innocently, was communing with and had woken up Yig, who lies buried underneath Loch Klinog, and it is Yig's waking up that is kind of stoking the violence in Ireland, and that connection is what somehow brought Deidre over from the real world into the Sorrows, just kind of where you were, right? Kind of a dream, the Sorrows, kind of a dream world. And that she, again, unknowingly, innocently, pulled the six of you through with her. And you managed to escape, obviously. But you did not, the one place that you, let's say, kind of went wrong is that, because the mist was still had a hold of Deidre as well when you took her through the portal, her mind, her spirit, her being, if you will, was left behind in the Sorrows.
So a little more knifing was in order, huh?
Yes.
And we only had one of those knives, is that right?
That is correct.
Oh dear, oh dear.
What was the half-formed tunnel back by the house? that we didn't go down because it was blocked?
Just something to be mysterious and give you something to think about.
Okay. Hmm. And the thing with us in the robes, was that just like symbolism of what we should be doing, or is that something that actually happened?
Yep. Well, that's kind of what could happen, right? I mean, you could have all, you know, performed the ritual, the ceremony. Obviously it was only Miss O'Brien who did, but you could have all participated.
Mm. Gotcha.
And I'll take it Martin's going to end up destitute and alone.
Yes. Yes, you know with certainty that at some point in the future that vision is going to come true.
After what happened to Joanna, Michael might be the one who sends them in.
Wow. But at least you can paint.
Yes. Yes.
That's true.
You'll always have that. Be a true starving artist.
Mm-hmm.
Whew. Wow. And sorry, Jim, you start off by saying that there were a group of players who were disturbed by it. Is it really just the opening scene they were disturbed by?
Yes.
Mm. Okay.
Yep.
That makes complete sense.
Yes.
Yep.
So, well, there we go.
Lot cool. to think about, yeah. Yeah.
Well, thank you.
Nice.
Thank you. Yeah.
That was one of the convention.
That's one of this year's convention scenarios, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hmm. Okay. I believe we don't know what we're doing next, so I'll get another vote out for. We'll see what's happening next week.
Cool.
Sounds good.
Sounds good. All right. Thanks, Jim.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Cool. Take care, guys.
Have a good week.
Bye.
Take
Bye.
Care. Bye.
Speak to you soon. Bye.